greetings to all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's been good to be here this morning. Thank you, James, for sharing your trials this week. I feel like the Lord has given me some of a trying morning just to, you know, make sure that what I'm preaching today is real, real in my life. I like to get up early on Sunday mornings and finish preparing my messages, and so I did that, and then I went to use the commode, you know, and our commode is broken. I need to get it fixed, and you flip the lever, and it keeps running, so if you flick it one more time, it'll stop. So we've just been using it like that. Well, used it, and went back out, and I hear it still running, so I forgot to flick it, so I went in and to do that, and as I step in the bathroom, I step in water. There's this much water across the whole bathroom floor, and my socks get wet, and so I pull my socks off and roll up my pants legs and start working on that and call my wife to come help me. And go ahead. And so the trial had to do with water. And so my wife comes out, my pants legs are rolled up, and I'm trying to clean up water. And then on top of that, you know, we're on our way, and we're 10 minutes on our journey to here, and we forget something, and so turn around and go back. And so I feel like the Lord's been working on me, making sure my message is real in my life this morning. So, it's good to be here. And so, yeah, let's begin with greetings in the name of Jesus. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow our hearts here before you, Lord, and acknowledge you as Lord and God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can freely share our hearts one with another, Lord, share our trials and bear each other's burdens. And Lord, we just pray today that you would come and meet with us the remainder of this day as you already have this morning, ministering to our hearts through song and brother sharing. I just pray, Lord, that you would take these lips and use them again to just communicate your word clearly today, Lord, that we may be edified and encouraged and you would be glorified, Father. We pray that you would anoint your word, give life to your word, that your word may have power in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this morning I have titled the message, Postures of the Mind. So, as you go through scriptures, there's many different postures of the mind. You know, you can read about the readiness of mind, the humbleness of mind. You can read about the renewed mind, having the same mind, having the one mind. These are all different postures of the mind. Talks about having a pure mind. Talks about having the loins of your mind girded. It talks about the forwardness of your mind. It talks about a reprobate mind. It talks about a carnal mind. It talks about a defiled mind. It talks about being an enemy in your mind. It talks about an earthly mind. It talks about a corrupt mind, an evil-affected mind, a blinded mind, a mind of vanity, a persuaded mind, a shaken mind, a doubtful mind, a sound mind, a fleshly mind, a lowly mind, a fervent mind, a weary and faint mind. And so these are all postures of the mind. Some are good, some are negative, but they're yet, nevertheless, they're all very real postures of the mind. The word posture means a state, condition, or frame, according to the Webster's 1828. It's a state and condition or a frame of mind. And with the mind, you know, the mind is the vine says the mind's a seat of reflective consciousness, comprising the faculties of perception and understanding and those of feeling, judging, and determining. And so, you know, there's a lot of things happen in our minds, right? And that's where it all happens. It starts there, and that's where it's happened. And so the Bible has a lot of different, I call them postures of the mind. It's a state and condition of frame. And so today, I just want to take a look at some of these. Some of them I'm going to combine together. No means is this a completion of everything. I'm sure there's more can be added, but the mind is a powerful thing that's inside of us in our human body. It's a powerful thing. As you think from the world's view at what the mind of human beings has accomplished in the last 200 years, it's astounding. You think of automobiles, you think of phones, you think of wireless phones, you think of airplanes, you think of internet, you think of electric. When I think of just those complex things, how did a mind come up with a phone that you can talk in? It's wireless. The mind is a powerful tool. Electric. How did someone think of electric, you know, to make it work the way we have it here today? We can have light, we can have heat, we can have cool. It's amazing what the mind has come up with. But our text here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the mind gives, it says it's a place of perception, understanding, those of feeling, judging, and determining. And that's what the scripture uses here, that our mind needs to be renewed, so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this powerful thing in us called the mind needs a renewing. Yes, it starts at conversion, but I believe that it's also a continuing renewing. I was just going to read here from the vines what on that word renew there to give us a better understanding what I'm trying to say here. It says, the renewing of your mind, the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God, which is designed to have a transforming effect upon the life. In Titus 3:5, where the renewing of the Holy Spirit is not a fresh bestowment of the Spirit, but a revival of His power developing the Christian life. This passage stresses the continual operation of the indwelling Spirit of God. The Romans passage stresses the willingness response on the part of the believer. So we need a continual renewing. We need a fresh revival in our hearts. You know, our mind, you know, how many of you ever face a moment of discouragement? You know, your mind needs to be renewed at that time. You need a continual renewing. So I can read this passage tomorrow and it tells me again that to renew my mind. I can read it 5 years from now and it's still, you know, I need to be revived from God, my mind renewed. I can read it 10 years from now and it's a continual renewal with the fresh revival from the Spirit of God. Yes, there's a change that happens at conversion, but we also need that continual renewing. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. It's a renewing. Our mind needs a renewing if we're going to become more Christ-like. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So our goal and purpose for the renewing of the mind is to have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So the Apostle Paul could confidently and boldly say, "I have the mind of Christ." Can you say that today? Can you say, "I have the mind of Christ"? But that is the reason why our minds need to, inner man needs to be renewed day by day. We want to be changed from glory to glory. Yes, I have the mind of Christ, but I want to become more like him. As I grow in him, I want to be more like him. I want to have more of his posture of mind, his frame of mind, his state of mind. So this morning, there are postures of the mind that are life-giving, and there are postures of the mind that bring death. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read verse 5 through 7. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So there's two complete opposites here. There's life, there's death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we, as human beings, you know, sometimes I heard this term, we're leaky vessels. We need to be filled continually. To maintain that spiritual life, our mind needs to be renewed day by day. And we need to get into we renew our mind with the Word of God. The Word of God strengthens us. Like Brother James was sharing, you know, someone encouraged him in the Word of the Lord. His mind was renewed from that, what he was feeling, that frustration with inside. His mind was renewed by prayer and by the Word of God. And so I'm going to just look at these different postures here today. Acts chapter 17, for the first one, I believe that this is a key one. It says, Paul here, he's at Berea in Athens, and in verse 11 he says, "These at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." So here's a posture of the mind, readiness. There's other ones that mean the same thing, a willing mind, a ready mind, a forwardness of mind. So one of the first steps in renewing your mind will hinge on this one, receiving the word with readiness of mind. How many of you children like to run a race? I know a lot of you do. But what do? You know, I've seen this often. Sometimes you have an adult here who's overseeing it. You have three, four children. You have three, four children lined up, readiness, right? Their forwardness. And you're counting, one, two. And a lot of times at two, some of them bolt off, right? There's a readiness there. There's a forwardness there. There's a willingness to run. They're just anticipation to run that race. And that's what that's a picture I receive. Are we, Bereans were receiving the word of God with readiness of mind. If we're going to receive have our mind renewed, we need to have that same readiness as we picture children as they are lined up. And you know, sometimes you have to call them back two, three times because they take off before you say go. Say one, two, three, get ready, four, go. And a lot of times at two, some of them are boating. There's a readiness there. There's a forwardness there. And that's a picture here that we, to a posture of our mind, that if we're going to, it needs to be willing. It needs to have a forwardness. Let every man be swift to hear and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So, another one is 1 Peter chapter 1, is girding up the loins of your mind, which is really, it's the same picture of what I just described here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." This word gird is what God told the children of Israel to do at the Passover, when he was going to deliver them out of Egypt. They were to gird themselves. They were to eat with haste. They were to have the staff in hand. They were ready to go at the moment God said to go. And this here is what it's saying. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end as obedient children. You know, to have your mind renewed. Also, you know, there needs to be a willingness to gird up your loins, gird up your mind to obey the scriptures. It says, as obedient children. That's another posture that we're going to prosper in the kingdom of God is to and have our minds continually renewed as obedient children. You know, God's not going to, we're not going to have a renewed mind if we live in disobedience. So they had to have their shoes on their feet, staff in hand, and they had to eat in a haste, it said. They had to eat hurriedly. So when we gird up the loins of our mind, there is a readiness or a willingness or forwardness to be obedient to the scriptures. There's not a hesitation, not making excuses, not making, there's just a readiness there to do it, because it's we want to become more like Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter if it means losing my family. It doesn't matter if it means losing friends or they start mocking you for taking the word of God seriously. It doesn't matter to my flesh anymore what people think about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to care what God thinks. In John, Jesus says, "I always do those things which please the Father." You know, actually, the scripture also says in John that if we seek the honor of men, how can we believe? Jesus actually says you can't. You can't believe. We just simply care what God thinks. That's the posture of mind that we need. Another posture of the mind is a corrupt mind. A corrupt mind cares about pleasing the flesh, and they and a corrupt mind will look for ways to get around obeying the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Romans chapter 1 talks about the reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is one that's void of understanding. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, Paul is concerned here that our minds don't get corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. People want to make it complicated. They are good with words. You know, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible, in the Psalms, it says it's able to make the simple wise unto salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So here we have a posture of the mind, corrupt mind, where people, they'll take doctrines of the word and make them complicated. They take baptism. It's so simple. So repent, believe, and be baptized. But yet men take it and make strifes of words out of it and try to make it complicated. It's very simple. And so Paul's saying here, I fear by lest any means a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. People take all kinds of doctrines and make it strifes of words, and just instead of letting the scripture just say what it says. The corrupt mind will always look ways to get around the truth. They will have words and questions. Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? It's just many different things, you know, that the believer's baptism gets questioned. The preaching of the gospel gets questioned. The head covering gets questioned. Modesty gets questioned. Divorce and remarriage gets questioned. It becomes strife of words. Purity and holiness of life gets questioned. Well, Jesus died for our sins. We can, but, you know, those that's coming from a corrupt mind, because a renewed mind will be in readiness to obey the scriptures and to walk in truth. So as we walk in truth with the mind of Christ, our mind is renewed day by day. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled, unbelieving, is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. There's a defiled mind. 2 Peter 3:1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So that's my heart this morning, to stir up your pure minds. You know, you sisters, when you make a bowl of soup and you have a bunch of goodies, normally the goodies always are at the bottom, right? So when you go in to dip out, your dipper always goes to the bottom to get the goodies, right? And a lot of times that's the way we are. As Christians, you know, we have things in our mind, the scripture, but sometimes we need to take a spoon and stir it up and bring it to top and get some of those goodies back up there to renew our mind. Paul did this in Ephesians chapter 2. He's stirring them up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's reminding them, this is where you were, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So our mind has desires, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So Paul's reminding them where you were. You had desires of the mind and of the flesh that were not good. But those desires of the mind need to be taken captive. They need to be renewed. Sometimes, you know, as you walk your Christian life, you know, sometimes there's desires pop into your mind, but you need to take them captive, renew your mind. And you know, ask the Lord to help you. Ephesians 4:17 talks about walking in the vanity of your mind. That's another posture of the mind. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. The Christian's walk is different than the unbeliever. And sadly, that testimony is not real for many. The professing Christian walks just like the world does. And he says here, this I say and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So it's a posture of the mind. It's not a good one. Colossians chapter 1 talks about being enemies in your mind. And you who are sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So we used to be enemies in our mind. I remember my mind was wicked before I was converted. And I was an enemy. And I praise the Lord for a renewed mind today. And I thank God for it. But we need to, our mind needs to be renewed as we walk with the Lord day by day. We need revival. We need continue refreshing from the Lord. You know, remember when you were an enemy in your mind, maybe you're here today, outward everything looks okay, but in your mind you're an enemy to God. All kinds of fleshly desires floating around in your mind. You know, if you're here today in that state, Jesus Christ is willing to reconcile you to himself and give you a pure mind. You don't need to continue having these fleshly desires floating around in your mind. You can be pure, have a pure mind. Another posture of the mind I want to look at is being of one mind or the same mind. And that the same or one mind is the mind of Christ. Brother Simon read in Isaiah, they shall see eye to eye, one mind, the same mind. And that mind is the mind of Christ. That's the only way that we can be of the same mind, the one mind, is having the mind of Christ. Some people are the same mind because of the same interests. Some people are the same mind because of a pet doctrine. Some people are the same mind because they have a grievance against a certain person. People can be of the same mind or one mind because of many things, but only if we have the mind of Christ can we truly as a body walk together. Walking in that renewed mind, the mind of Christ. Read a couple verses on the same mind. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 4:1. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So he's saying to arm your mind with the same mind he had to suffer in this world. If we're true born-again Christians, you're going to suffer. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Arm yourselves with that mind. If we're not facing some persecution at times, we should probably question ourselves, am I really a Christian? He says, yea, all that live godly shall, not maybe, could, might, but shall. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, another one on the same mind. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Philippians chapter 1, another one, verse 27. Only let your conversation, that's your walk, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's your mind around Christ. Only let your walk as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's a mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ. Another one is Philippians 2, verse 2 and 5. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Jump down to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 2, another one. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy, my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6, some more on the same mind. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. It's according to Him. And so He is... We need to have His mind, have the mind of Christ. Another posture is humbleness of mind. Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, preaching, is having a humble mind. Romans 12:16 says, be not wise in your own conceits. My own ideas, my ways, pride, is the opposite of humbleness of mind. If we have the thoughts, you know, my way of things is doing things is better. My thoughts are better than so and so. It's the Bible says, esteeming others better than yourselves. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. There's that word lowliness again, humbleness. Acts 20 is another one on humbleness of mind, the posture of the mind. Acts 20, verse 18, starting at verse 18-19. Paul here, he's preaching to the elders at Ephesus, and he says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So Paul here is testifying that he served the Lord with all humility of mind, not just a little bit, but all humility of the mind. Another posture is an evil-affected mind. Acts 14, verse 2. It says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil-affected against the brethren. We need to guard our minds against this posture of the mind. If someone just gives a slight negative comment about someone, it can affect your mind about that person. Here the Jews, the religious people, were speaking out against the church, and it was affecting the Gentiles against the brethren. If someone is speaking to you about the brethren here, you know, don't let that evil affect your mind against the brethren. But, you know, go talk to the brother versus letting evil affect your mind. You know, if someone is outside is sharing, slighting brethren, we should not take that, because it can evil affect our mind. It can cause division. It can cause strife. And it's a posture of the mind that needs to be guarded against. And so I have some more here. I'm going to combine these, seven more postures of the mind. I want to tie them all together here. It's a doubtful mind, persuaded, shaken, sound, and fervent, earthly, and flesh. The first one is in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus says, Neither be ye of a doubtful mind. You know, he wants us to have assurance in his word. He wants us to have confidence in him. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Doubting. If we have doubts floating around in our mind needs to be renewed. We need to find out what's causing that doubt. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The children of Israel, they had, Brother David shared about them, you know, they had confidence to cross the Red Sea, but they didn't have confidence to enter the promised land. They became of a doubtful mind. Their assurance, their confidence was shattered. And sin will do that. It'll shatter your confidence. It'll take away your assurance, and rightly so. And it should. And it's God's way of getting you drawn back to him. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 talks about a sound mind. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. God wants us, our minds, to be stayed up on him. Isaiah says, he whose mind is stayed up on thee, can't get the rest of the verse, but he wants our minds to be stayed up on him. We need to renew our mind and guard it with care, because it is a place where we, our heart and mind is a place that communes with God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This goes with a doubtful mind, a shaken mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, I'll start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, and the Son of Man, and the son of perdition. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here he talks about a shaken mind, a mind that's not rooted and grounded on the word of God. You know, Colossians chapter 1 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. He says here that troubles are going to come. Don't let the troubles shake you, neither by spirits. You know, sometimes there's other spirits working in people using scripture, and the scripture says to try the spirits whether they be of God, and it says there shall come a falling away. Trouble comes, and Christians are shaken in the mind by other spirits, by strange words and doctrines other than sound words, and they get bitter and become of a doubtful mind, start questioning. Yea, hath God said? Just last week, you know, had a brother in our house from out of state visitor, and he mentioned a name of a man who I greatly appreciated. I heard his preaching, listened to his tapes, and I asked him, where is he today? He said, well, he's fallen away from the faith. He got bitter over things. And, you know, his mind was shaken. His mind did not stay renewed, was not renewed day by day. Troubles came and bitterness crept in. And so it talks about a shaken mind. You start doubting God's word. And Romans 14:5 says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We can't let our minds get shaken. We need to stay persuaded mind, a mind that is stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and fully trusting his word, not soon shaken. It says here that troubles are going to come. Do we believe that? It says that ye be not soon shaken. It's talking about the return of Christ. Many are falling away, and troubles do come. Troubles come in church, but don't let those things shake your mind. Stay rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word. Don't start questioning, yea, hath God said? But let's not be of a doubtful mind or a shaken mind, but let's be of a sound mind and a fully persuaded mind. Those are postures of the mind, shaken mind, doubtful mind. Which one sounds better? Persuaded mind. That sounds, we need to be there, a sound mind. That's having assurance. That's where God wants us. We will also just look at a couple other things that shake the mind. Colossians 2, verse 18 and 19. These things have a tendency to shake the mind. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. I've met people already who you hear them talk and they seem to have a special connection, a special insight with God that nobody else has. And, you know, and it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And when people do that, it sounds so spiritual. But, you know, I want to share with you, you and I have the same privilege to be connected with God as every other person in this world has through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one that has a more... we have the opportunity to be connected to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, just because someone comes and makes you think, I have a more special connection to God than you, a lot of it is coming from a fleshly mind, and it sweeps people off their feet and shakes their mind and takes away their assurance and confidence in Christ, and it just it uproots them. So, men and women start out well. As Paul says in Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so it's important that we do not get shaken by a fleshly mind, but we need to try the spirits, see whether they are of God. Another thing that shakes a mind is an earthly mind takes away the renewing. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 20. Says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things, having an earthly mind. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, if we get wrapped up in this with the earthly mind, the things of this life, the things of this world, and start minding them as the third soil condition says, you know, the cares of this life and the pleasure, the riches and cares and pleasures of this life choke out the word. It's an earthly mind. It chokes out the word. It takes away the renewing of the mind. An earthly mind will take away your confidence. So our mind needs to be renewed. Paul says, for our conversation or for our walk is in heaven. By the way I'm living, by the way I'm walking, my Christian life shows that my walk, that I'm headed for heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So an earthly mind will shake your mind and take away the assurance and brings doubt. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 talks about having a fervent mind, a mind that's full of zeal and inspiring, a fervent mind. Having a fervent mind means to be zealous. You know, it's okay sometimes to lift your hands. The Bible says lifting holy hands. Let it express. It's okay to have some amens. It's, you know, having a fervent mind, a mind that is zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in those things, but living the life of Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, a couple more postures of the mind that Jesus, the Hebrew writer, warns us against. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So the writer here is warning us of this posture of mind. Look to yourselves that you don't get weary. You know, a lot of people get weary and faint, then they get shaken, and then they become bitter, and then, it's just a downhill spiral from there. So there's different postures of the mind here that some are encouraged, some are warned against. And that's my goal today. That we would look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the continual fervency and renewal of the mind, lest we be weary and faint and get shaken in our mind. Let's have a readiness about us. Let's have a forwardness about it, like those children lining up for a race, just ready, set, go. For zeal for the kingdom of God. And got a couple more verses here in closing. Romans chapter 8. I read these again. Read these in the beginning, and I want to read them in closing, and a couple more in Philippians. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 9. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. One couple last verses here in Philippians chapter 3. This one's being, I just want to point this one out to the faithfulness of God as we walk with Him through the Holy Spirit and walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He's encouraging us like those children to press toward that finished goal. Press, be ready. And he encourages us to be, if we're minded like that, he calls us perfect. And then he says, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So as you are pressing with all your heart, walking in victory and holiness and life, and God's faithfulness, he promises to us, if we're any otherwise minded, if we're earthly minded, fleshly minded in any way, he's going to refine that and take away. He's going to reveal it. He says, if you're going to any otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Why? Because he wants us to have the mind of Christ and to become changed from glory to glory, to be more like him, to think more like he thinks, to be more about our Father's business. That's why he does it. He wants to perfect us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, renewed, the inward man renewed day by day. So today, you know, I don't know where you find your mind, but I'll just read all them again. You know, there's readiness of mind, there's humbleness of mind, there's a renewed mind, there's a same mind, there's a one mind, there's a girded mind, there's a pure mind, there's a forwardness mind, there's a persuaded mind, there's a weary and faint mind. And even if there's anything else, otherwise, he says, he will show that. There's a shaken mind, doubtful mind, sound mind, fleshly mind, lowliness of mind, fervent mind. There's a reprobate mind, carnal mind, defiled, enemies, earthly mind, corrupt mind, evil-affected mind, blinded mind, vanity mind, mind of vanity. So I just want to close with some of these describe every one of us in here. So where you fit in that, I don't know. I can't see your mind, but somewhere everyone in here fits in some of those categories. So my heart is that to encourage you to have the renewed mind to receive the Word of God, the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. With readiness, with forwardness. So it doesn't matter if you're even some of the most worst ones in here have one of the most evil minds that it mentions. It's still the same message for you to get the renewed mind. It's the same. It's the blood of Christ and it's Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. Doesn't matter which one where you're at, if you want to grow closer, be changed from glory to glory, it's the same way, same message. So thank you for listening, and God bless.